School districts across Massachusetts are working to finalize their reopening plans this week. Many are trying to figure out how and if they can welcome students back into school buildings amid the pandemic. Final plans were originally due today, but state officials extended that deadline until Friday. WBUR's Max Larkin's been digging through several reopening plans, and he joins us to talk about what he's found. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Deb.
So can we say at this point that we know what most districts are doing and what might that be?
Yeah, I think we know what they're hoping to do, Deb. And if we're going just by pure numbers of schools, the clear winner is this hybrid model where you've got kids in school part-time and then otherwise learning at home. We have these preliminary plans that were submitted in late July, and in those, more than three-quarters of schools said they hoped to go that route. The advantages would be, you know, it's easier to get 6 feet of distance if you have fewer students in the buildings, and then it's easier to adjust if things get better or worse. You can have more students at home or more students coming back. The disadvantage is that it's still hugely disruptive for parents' work and childcare arrangements. Younger kids don't seem to do that well with online learning. And then just because you have kids at home, it doesn't mean they definitely won't catch the virus and then eventually bring it to school. Then, Deb, you had about 8 to 10% of schools planning for fully in-person learning, which has been the preference of Governor Baker and state education officials. And then finally, you've got a growing number of big districts that are planning to kick off this fall remotely. That's the remaining 10% or so of schools, but some of them are very big schools.
So why is there such a variety here, Max?
Yeah, I think it reflects the variety of the communities in this state at large and the fact that Governor Baker did leave the final decision to local authorities. Baker isn't the only voice pushing for a physical return as soon as possible. You have pediatricians, some education experts, and parents with him, in part because public schools just do so much. They provide free or affordable meals. They're a starting point for mental health care for young people. And kids just do seem to learn better inside their walls. I spoke to Mira Levinson, who teaches at Harvard's Graduate School of Education. She co-wrote a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine that ran in late July calling for elementary schools to reopen, given that kids under 10 or 11 don't seem to spread or suffer from COVID-19 in the same way as adults. But she said it's not carte blanche. You know, she worried that an upward creep of case numbers in this state could make learning in person a risk to public health.
It would be not just sad, but I think actually unforgivable if we squander the opportunity to provide in-person schooling to a million school kids because we are keeping some indoor restaurants open, you know, hairstylists open.
Now, Levinson also said that for the teachers who do have to report to work in person, they ought to receive hazard pay and be treated as essential workers just as much as EMTs, firefighters, that sort of thing.
What about the other side of things, the districts that are going fully remote? What do they say?
Yeah, I think that the most thoughtful advocates of that point of view don't deny that in-person schooling would be best. They just argue that we're unlikely to have sufficiently contained the virus for, you know, that to be a safe option this fall. You know, think of the big districts that have decided on remote learning so far. It's not just Somerville, but Lynn, Revere, Everett, Taunton, Brockton, Chelsea, and Lawrence haven't voted, but they appear to be leaning in that direction. These are districts with lots more high-need students than average, whether they're lower income, learning English, that sort of thing. They're also generally places that suffered disproportionately much during the first wave of the pandemic, and in many, the case count is now rising again. I spoke to Frank Parker, who's a school committee member in Everett, and he says that in many households in his community, you have elderly relatives acting as the sole caretakers for young children. And he says factors like that made voting for a remote start a pretty easy choice.
What happens if that grandmother gets sick, even if it's just for a two-week quarantine period? Never mind passes away. I mean, that's frightful.
So that's kind of an upside or a feature of this very New England tradition of letting localities decide what happens with their schools, Deb. But then, as you said, it also means we don't have a single agreed upon statewide approach to school this fall.
Now everyone's watching the coronavirus cases. What happens if the numbers go up? Would then everybody have to go remote?
Yeah, and of course, that's a big risk on everyone's mind that you just have a replay of the spring. You know, if the pandemic doesn't slow down, at least the schools serving older kids will want to revise that plan, I think. You know, serving them in person, I mean to say. Elementary schools may have less to worry about because of the differential in, you know, how younger kids spread the disease. But I think even their continued safe operation will depend on an unpredictable next few months. For Mira Levinson, who we heard from earlier, the key number to watch is 10 new cases per day per 100,000 people. Right now, we're among the safest states, around 5.6 new cases on that metric as of this morning. But then again, it has been gradually climbing, and I think that makes these decisions so much harder.
WBUR's Max Larkin, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Deb.